Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
236, Chad Hartman back here with you on Newstalk 830 WC. So please give us a follow at Chad Hartman Show. Our show has been totally tied for all of the valid reasons to George Floyd and his death. And I say it all the time, and Jay just made the point, my friend Jay Edgar just made the point. Even with everything that's happened, the destruction, the looting, the very valid questions on leadership last night, what should have taken place, even with the news today that Derek Chauvin has been charged with third-degree murder and manslaughter, the biggest story by far still is that George Floyd lost his life, and that should not have happened, and there's no defense of that. To answer a number of questions, a man has joined us many times before. The Attorney General of the state, Keith Ellison, is with us on the CenterPoint Energy Home Service Plus hotline. Take me through, sir, where you were last night, communications, and just what you were thinking when you're watching the events unfold.
Well, I was in many places. I was moving around in my car by midnight. I arrived home, but I had a sinking, sad feeling. Seeing the flames, seeing the smoke this morning, it's just very, very sad. But I believe we need to clean up the glass. We're gonna clean up the shattered windows, but we also gotta mend this broken society, man, that leaves people behind, where there's not equal justice for all, and which makes people feel such a sense of rage that sometimes that rage can be expressed in a very, very explosive way. And so, you know, this is not the way of making excuses. It's just in the way of, hey, this is how society runs. You can't have systematic pressure on people based on who they are. I mean, what happened to George Floyd didn't only happen to George Floyd. It's happened to many people who did survive the encounter, but carried a lot of negative energy and a lot of resentment because of it. And that is what we've got to fix. And that's a long-term project. And, you know, now Chauvin is charged, and there will be a case, and we'll see what happens with that. But at the end of the day, if we don't fix the condition, if we don't fix the conditions that brought this case about in the first place, we'll be right back here. So I'm calling for systemic changes.
I want to get to those in a second, sir. Let me ask you about the charges. The event. The death of Floyd, the unnecessary death of George Floyd, happens Monday night. The charges and the apprehension took place this afternoon.
Right.
What are your thoughts on the timeline, and what's your feeling on the specific charges that Mike Freeman and his staff decided on?
You know, I'm going to just respect Mike Freeman's prerogative to investigate at the pace that he felt he needed to, and to charge the case in a way that he feels he can sustain and gain a conviction for. You should know that we're in the beginning of this thing. We're in the beginning of it. The investigation still ongoing, both state and federal. And It's not unusual to amend a complaint and add charges or even add defendant. So we're not, this thing is not done. You know, a lot more work to be done here. And so that's what I'm thinking right now.
The Attorney General has many responsibilities, including to make sure legally everyone is treated fair and can speak out
right.
when it's not. You have right. to make a lot of legal judgments. I'm asking you to make this judgment as a citizen who has never been reluctant to give me an opinion.
Right.
Do you feel like the leadership was as visible last night as it should have been? Because I don't.
Well, let me tell you, we've really never been through this before. I think that everybody is trying to adjust the way they need to. I think that, you know, legitimate criticism needs to be forthcoming. I can tell you that tonight will be different from last night. Governor Walz has you know, issued an executive order asking National Guard to assist and state troopers. And I think that, you know, people can be confident tonight that, you know, there won't be further arson and destruction of property as there was last night and the night before. So, yeah, I'll take criticism that, you know, maybe things should have been gone differently. I also think that this is new territory for everybody. It is the city's prerogative and their responsibility. And so at this point, the state has now gotten involved as of 12 o'clock last night. And we're working as a team to try to make sure we safeguard person and property at this point. And we're working together.
Do you understand why me and so many others, when we watched the death and then we watched Tuesday, and then Wednesday was appreciably worse than Tuesday, and as Thursday was unfolding, and so many of us were just wary and sensing that this was going to be worse, are wondering why that plan wasn't implemented much sooner yesterday?
Yeah, that's a legitimate question, and I think that we are going to have to continue to answer that question as time goes by. Why weren't things sooner? Who should have acted sooner? Which jurisdiction had a responsibility to act sooner? But I think that what I can really do is tell you that at 2:44 today, people and property will be much, much safer tonight. The state has gotten involved, and I'm confident that we're going to be able to live up to people's expectations.
Are we looking at a curfew tonight?
Likely, yeah.
How will that be enforced?
Well, the National Guard, state troopers will say, there's a curfew. You have to observe it. And people will have a right to peacefully protest, to say what they need to say, to do what they need to do. Excuse me. But when it gets to be dark and the level of danger starts to escalate, it'll be enforced by the National Guard.
So let's just play out a scenario which to me seems likely. And let's say the curfew is, for this conversation, 9 o'clock. And leading up to that, we have thousands of individuals who are in South Minneapolis, downtown Minneapolis, potentially St. Paul. Do we have enough law enforcement where the warnings will be given? And then if necessary, we're going to arrest that many people and we can have those officers or members of the National Guard taken away? I mean, to me, it sounds like it sounds good. But when they think about how it's actually going to play out, I just feel like the numbers that we have will not live up to that unless these folks are remarkably accepting of authority. And there have been no signs that many of them are willing to look that way so far.
You know, I think a lot more people want order than some people might think. I mean, all of that, the destruction was never a majority thing. It was actually the overwhelming number of people were peacefully protesting. In fact,
I agree with that. I wouldn't doubt that. But we do know there are thousands that have been involved and have been at those locations who have either observed the looting or who've participated in the looting.
That's true. And I can also tell you there's thousands more who want to be able to peacefully protest.
Sure.
And so I've been telling people, look, don't look at the National Guard as an occupying force, or look at them as people who are going to safeguard your right to peacefully protest. I mean, a week ago, these guys were doing COVID-19 tests. A week ago, they were helping us deal with this healthcare crisis. A year ago, they were helping us through flooding. These guys are not the Minneapolis Police Department. They're very different, and I believe that they're going to play a positive role. And I just hope people respect them and try to recognize that they're there to safeguard people's rights. People who want to burn stuff and break stuff, they're not going to be allowed to do that, nor should they. And I don't think that brings any – I don't think that brings any honor to George Floyd at all to burn down a store or break windows or tear up people's property.
I want to ask you about comments that your friend, the former mayor of Minneapolis, R.T. Rybak, made on this show earlier when I was asking him about his leadership and the police. And he zeroed in on Bob Kroll and said Bob Kroll is the biggest problem, that he is a cancer on the Minneapolis Police Department, and called him a racist. What is your view of Bob Kroll?
I kind of agree with RT on that. I mean, Bob Kroll is not a force for good. He just isn't. And it's sad, but it's true.
Have you felt that way for a long time?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I remember in 2006 when I got elected, he said to a class of police officers, Minneapolisans are dumb people. We're at war with the terrorists, and we just elected one. A police officer who was in the room who heard this and said, are you talking about Congressman Ellison? And he said something like, well, yeah, they did just elect him. And so it was a big controversy. I mean, that's the Bob Kroll I know, that kind of person. He's a charismatic figure. I think a lot of officers feel that he is an advocate for them. But the problem is he's a polarizing figure. He doesn't try to bridge the gap between police and community. He just says, I'm for my side against the other side. And, kind of in a Trump-like fashion, of whom he's a big fan, by the way. When Arradondo said, we're not going to have warrior training anymore, he said, we'll just pay for warrior training. Arradondo says, no, you won't. We're not going to do that anymore. So I think he's a force for division. And I think he regards people of color as beneath him and beneath his dignity to respect them. And I think it's about time that we have better leadership that is about bringing people together, healing, helping police officers understand that if they support the community will absolutely support that. But I just don't think he's that leader.
I want to finish with something that you and John Harrington have been working on for a long time about deadly force, about interactions between the police and citizens, and you've devoted a lot of time to that. When do you think we can see some results on this? And what does the George Floyd death do to bringing people together to try to eliminate the next George Floyd situation?
Well, we need the legislature to really take up these issues. So I think that that is a big help. I can tell you that the BCA, they've already started. I mean, John Harrington assigned a liaison to connect with all families who have lost somebody kind of a crime victims when the victim is a person who dies and as a result of a deadly force encounter with the police. He's already set that up. We've already began the process of, you know, engaging the mental health community. And that's important because we do know that all about 50% of all officer involved related deaths involve people who are in mental health or chemical health crisis. So we're working on models to have dual response, and they already have it in St. Paul. So we're kind of copying. We're trying to implement that. So we're moving forward, but it's too slow. And you know, if there is one way to honor the memory of Mr. Floyd, of George Floyd, it is to use this event as a catalyst to take a big step forward in terms of you know, implementing the ideas. Our task force had a law enforcement. This is a task force that had law enforcement from the city, from the greater Minnesota, from suburbs. We had sheriffs, we had city cops, we had state cops, we had presentations by people who were federal officers. But that was only a piece of it. Mostly what we had is community. We had people who were in the ACLU. We had people from the philanthropic community. We had people from academia. We had people from just the neighborhood. Clarence Castile, the uncle of Clarence of Philando Castile, was a member. And we heard from his sister, Valerie, who's Philando's mother. And so we had a diverse group. We came up with good recommendations. Now it's time to implement them. Now it's time to put them in place. And by the way, I'll tell you this, Chad, we were up at Cloquet. We were in Bemidji. We were down in Worthington and in Mankato. We didn't just stick around the Twin Cities. We went all over the place. And a lot of people don't know this, Chad. More than half of the officer-involved shootings last year were in greater Minnesota. So this is think of it as an urban problem, but it's actually not. It's shared. So we need to implement these ideas.
Yep. I got to jump in, sir. I really appreciate the conversation. I'm just up against the clock, and everybody, I'll be watching tonight, hope it goes much, much better. Thank you for your time.
You bet. Bye-bye.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.